difficult to find relief. Thank God for the refreshing change people can find right here.
A few weeks ago, the well-known writer Alexander Coburn, who's one of the editors of Counterpunch, wrote an article that I think surprised everyone, certainly I was surprised, called From Papal Indulgences to Carbon Credits, Is Global Warming a Sin? And in that article, he basically asserts that the human carbon footprint is of zero consequence.
It's really crazy stuff, and it's very sad, really, because I've had a great deal of respect for Alexander. An awful lot of people on the left have respect for Alexander, and he's blowing a lot of it.
When some right-wing pseudo-fascist nut is convicted or discovered in the bedroom of a little boy, something inside me accepts. I want to cheer, but I don't, because it shows we are all kind of crazy in some way. But at least their hurtful rants become sidelined in the great debates of the day. Thank God, if there is one, we don't have to listen to Jerry Falwell anymore. When an icon of the left falls, someone who has warned and enlightened us, it is much harder. That's what makes it so painful to announce the virtual death of one Alexander Coburn, or at least the passing of his credibility. This transplanted Irish-Scottish writer has blasted malfeasance and authoritarian violence from the pages of Counterpunch, The Nation, and many mainstream publications. He has been chums with Noam Chomsky and pals with many of the gonzo journalists who keep us all honest. But now Coburn has joined the Exxon-funded cranks who deny that humans are heating up the planet with their pollution. Go ahead and fill that gas guzzler, people. Don't worry about a thing. Alexander Coburn believes that oil is infinite. It will never run out, because all the geologists in the world are wrong. Oil wasn't made from compressed plant life. The whole core of the earth is filled with oil, and it will ooze out forever. He knows this because one scientist, building on theories from Stalinist Russia days, says it is so. Coburn steadfastly believes in abiotic oil, the endless supply. And you don't have to worry about global warming either. Pump up your coal plants and gun that Hummer, baby, because humans have nothing to do with climate change. If the world is warming at all, Coburn tells us in a recent series of articles, nature is doing it, not us. He knows this because he once met a man on a boat who told him, and that is enough to trump all the climate scientists. You don't even have to believe your own eyes. Never mind the superstorms, the Arctic melting, the winter that never was. You can relax about all that, because Alexander Coburn has discovered an alternative reality, a new truth that only he and a few desperate souls on the far left can see. I feel better already. Millions of Americans, Canadians, and fossil fans everywhere will cite the writing of Alexander Coburn as a source. The pro-oil websites and right-wingers like the Heartland Institute have already linked to Coburn's new denial literature. Today, we mourn the credibility of one of our own, Alexander Coburn. I take this personally, and I'll tell you why. In my beloved British Columbia, in this chain of mountains by the sea, huge and wondrous pine forests are dying and already dead. From space, you can see the red swaths of dead trees, mile after pitiless mile, killed off by global warming. Where winters were cold enough to kill off the pine bark beetle, suddenly they're not. And this pest is killing every pine of the Rockies and threatens to invade the northern prairies as well. We've lost a magnificent realm of forests because the winters just aren't as cold as they have been for thousands of years. I'm sad about that, and angry about the intellectual fools who spin out skimpy lies to divert us from saving what is left of the ecosphere, as humans have known it, during our short stay here. Former friends and admirers have tried to reason with Mr. Coburn. UK columnist George Monbiot has pleaded for an explanation, or at least a dialogue. All that comes out is more craziness, a hole dug deeper in denial. Monbiot and others have given up, realizing Coburn has become a crank, fixated with ideas that cannot be changed by reality. Actually, Alexander Coburn is part of a trio of new additions to the Climate Deniers' Hall of Shame. He is assisted by two Canadian intellectuals, university professors who are battling their own schools, and all of science. These are David Noble and Denis Rancourt, and we'll get to them in our next radio feature. Unlike Coburn, these academics do have something worthwhile to add to the debate. Let's investigate the investigator, Alexander Coburn, spelled C-O-C-K-B-U-R-N. Born a Scot but raised in Ireland, Alexander Coburn brought the rebel's outsider view to a number of American publications. He was published in the New York Review of Books, Esquire, and Harper's. He started a column in the Village Voice called Press Clips, but it was kicked out in 1983. The Voice claimed he accepted, quote, a $10,000 grant from an Arab studies organization in 1982. Coburn has been very critical about Israel, Zionists, and the treatment of the Palestinian people. Some Jewish writers and intellectuals call Coburn anti-Semitic, but the label hasn't stuck in the left, where criticism of Israel is allowed. Thereafter, Coburn picked up a regular column in the political paper The Nation. It was titled Beat the Devil. He is co-editor of an online journal called Counterpunch. Along with Noam Chomsky, Coburn has blasted U.S. foreign policy in Central America, and militarism generally. He roasts the leadership of the Democratic Party as too tame. In the year 2000, when he supported the presidential candidate Ralph Nader, Coburn and co-editor Jeffrey St. Clair brought out an anti-Gore book called Al Gore, A User's Manual. You can buy it from Amazon for $1.26. This loathing of Al Gore may be behind his persistent attack on the science of climate change. In his Counterpunch article, May 12th, titled Hot Air, Cold Cash, Who Are the Merchants of Fear?, Coburn writes, quote, the world's best-known hysteric and self-promoter on the topic of man's physical and moral responsibility for global warming is Al Gore, a shill for the nuclear industry, and the coal barons from the first day he stepped into Congress, entrusted with a sacred duty to protect the budgetary and regulatory interests of the Tennessee Valley Authority and the Oak Ridge National Lab. White House task forces on climate change in the Clinton-Gore years were always well freighted by Gore and his advisor John Holdren, with nukers like John Pape of Bechtel, end quote. Too bad he cited John Holdren, the president of the American Association for the Advancement of Science and a top Harvard scholar, who doesn't know that Holdren, unlike Coburn, is just a dupe with no scientific credibility. He's just a spokesperson for those, quote, grant-guzzling climate modelers and their internationale, the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, end quote. And they are all pawns in Al Gore's game. In fact, we shouldn't be surprised by the recent series of strange articles with his one-man theory of climate change. Coburn has been consistently nutty on this subject. In March 2001, Coburn's article in the Free Press was titled Greenhouse Gas and Global Warming, The Great Delusion. He finds climate change is nothing to worry about, and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, are a bunch of extremist doomsters. His deep throat source is one Pierre Spray, former government analyst, statistical expert, and veteran of many battles over inflated eco-catastrophic predictions. Actually, Pierre Spray, the climate expert, turns out to be one of Robert McNamara's whiz kids at the Pentagon, deeply involved in the design of the F-16 fighter plane. He quit in 1986 for a new career, recording jazz music. Who couldn't fall for those credentials? His August 23, 2001 Beat the Devil column followed up with a bit more of global warming plots somehow cooked up by a combination of bad Democrats and, wait for it, the Bush administration. Somehow Coburn managed to link climate modelers to biological warfare research. He reassures us, once again, that humans have nothing to do with climate change. We might as well fill up our gas tanks and rev up our motors, he advises us in another column, October 15, 2005, called The Virtues of Gas Guzzling, Why I Don't Believe in Peak Oil. For this wild theory, Coburn has yet another personal expert, the radio physicist Dr. Thomas Gold. Dr. Gold says oil is a renewable resource, constantly replenished by the Earth. Sadly, the dead and dying oil fields of the United States have yet to be refilled by this magical process. So what is Coburn saying now? It started with an article in Counterpunch of May 2, 2007 titled From Papal Indulgences to Carbon Credits, Is Global Warming a Sin? He writes, quote, there is still zero empirical evidence that anthropogenic production of CO2 is making any measurable contribution to the world's present warming trend. The greenhouse fearmongers rely entirely on unverified, crudely oversimplified computer models to finger mankind's sinful contribution. Devoid of any sustaining scientific basis, carbon trafficking is powered by guilt. credulity, cynicism, and greed, just like the old indulgences, though at least the latter produced beautiful monuments. End quote. He then goes into a pseudoscientific supposed proof that, quote, it is impossible to assert that the increase in atmospheric CO2 stems from human burning of fossil fuels, end quote. Unfortunately, his array of facts is so skewed that the folks at realscience.org, who debate actual climate science, hardly knew where to begin to unravel all the errors. Where did he get this stuff? He met a man on a boat who told him so. Coburn writes, I met Dr. Martin Hertzberg, the man who drew that graph and those conclusions, on a nation cruise back in 2001. He remarked that while he shared many of the nation's editorial positions, he approved of my reservations on the issue of the supposed human contributions to global warming, as outlined in columns I wrote at that time. Hertzberg was a meteorologist for 3 years in the U.S. Navy, an occupation which gave him a lifelong mistrust of climate modeling. Trained in chemistry and physics, a combustion research scientist for most of his career, he's now in Copper Mountain, still consulting from time to time. Quote. Who is this wonder scientist that confounds the experts world over? Hertzberg is an ex-Navy man who later worked as an explosions expert for the Bureau of Mines. So he would know. He has been hired as an expert witness by Big Coal, especially when mine workers are killed by explosions. He has been paid by the coal industry. According to Hertzberg, and utterly believed by Coburn, water vapor is the force melting the glaciers of the world and wrecking outdoor ice hockey in Canada last winter. Yes, there is much more water vapor in the atmosphere than carbon dioxide. Yes, water vapor is a powerful greenhouse gas in its own right. But scientists know that water vapor operates in known cycles, within certain bounds, and cannot by itself force a change in the climate. Water vapor reacts to changes in the Earth's temperature. As the Earth heats up, the air will become generally more humid. But that increase in water vapor doesn't cause itself. Something else changes, namely all the industrial and agricultural pollution we pour into the atmosphere. But wait, Coburn has another explanation. It's the sun. He drags out the old idea of the Serbian physicist Milutin Milankovic, who proposed that tiny alterations in the Earth's rotation were responsible for the alteration of ice ages and hot tropical periods. This may or may not be true over vast ages, but it doesn't explain the rocket-fast changes we are seeing now. It doesn't seem to occur to Alexander Coburn, the newly minted authority on climate, that whole herds of scientists all over the world have carefully considered and rejected all these arguments. That is because, wait for it, the world scientific community is just part of a conspiracy, likely led by Al Gore, and maybe even the Jewish bankers behind everything, to fleece the gullible public with wild stories about climate change. Those scientists, Coburn claims, wade out into the swamps and huddle in Antarctic huts because they are, quote, the beneficiaries of a $2 billion a year global warming grant industry, end quote. Well, it hasn't been much of an industry up until now. Exxon makes $1 billion a day, and they have paid out much better money to other climate deniers like Patrick Michaels, who at least was originally a real scientist rather than an aging political pundit. When even his friends on the left ask Coburn for answers, all they get back is more name-calling and even weirder claims to fringe science. Pushed to find another expert, beyond Mr. Hertzberg, Coburn goes dumpster diving through the net for backers for the denier camp. He finds Professor Zbigniew Jaworowski, who doubts that ice cores can tell us anything about the previous history of the atmosphere. The paper Coburn cites was published in the 21st Century Science and Technology magazine. Despite the impressive name, that isn't a scientific journal at all, but the long-standing mouthpiece for the Lyndon LaRouche organization. LaRouche is the granddaddy of conspiracy nuts, claiming the British Queen heads an international drug organization, and Jewish bankers control the world, presumably including China and India and Japan. As each article becomes more strident and defensive, Coburn finds, quote, a conspiracy of interest between the greenhouse fearmongers and the nuclear industry. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is for Coburn, quote, an army of functionaries and grant farmers and the merest sprinkling of actual scientists. Then Coburn cites the work of Dr. Patrick Michaels, an American scientist paid by the electricity providers and Big Coal, who has fudged other people's scientific papers in testimony to Congress. Coburn believes Michaels, now at the Cato Institute, rather than any of his old friends or those international experts. We don't need peer-reviewed scientific papers, he says. That's all a fixed game for suckers. He throws around figures and isotopes as though he is the real scientist, lately trained by what he found on the web. As evidence that peer-reviewed science is a la crock, Coburn steers readers to Canadian University Professor David Noble at climateguy.blogspot.com and Denis Rancourt, a self-proclaimed activist whose first-year courses were recently dropped. Rancourt argues that we can't really know anything by science, even though he is a physics professor teaching at the University of Ottawa. More on these two will follow in a separate piece. Coburn's other big source is Frederick Seitz, chairman of the right-wing George C. Marshall Institute, funded by ExxonMobil. Seitz also worked for R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company to, quote, refute the criticisms of cigarettes. Anyone will do as a witness. So long as Coburn is right, whatever he says, and you, all of you experts and fools, are wrong. You can find all the gory details in a column by George Monbiot, published May 31, 2007, and available either at monbiot.com, that's M-O-N-B-I-O-T.com, or at www.zmag.org. Z Magazine Online has a great summary of the Coburn articles, his two Canadian supporters, and the rebuttals from people like Michael Mann, Justin Poder, and Joshua Frank. That's at zmag.org/debatesglobalwarming. Obviously, Coburn isn't just skating on thin ice. The heat has melted everything out from under him. He's drowning in a ridiculous pose thrown out, perhaps, to gain more attention. The problem is, Coburn isn't likely being paid by Exxon, despite his past links to Arab funders. He really believes that whatever he says is true, no matter that the whole world disagrees. That, my friends, is the definition of a crank. Here's George Monbiot talking with the host of Uprising on KPFA, a Pacifica program, about this controversy. It happened on May 21st, 2007.
George, let's talk a little bit about some interesting controversies around the issue of global warming that we've seen in recent days on the left, someplace we might not expect to see it. A few weeks ago, the well-known writer Alexander Coburn, who's one of the editors of Counterpunch, wrote an article that I think surprised everyone, certainly I was surprised, called From Papal Indulgences to Carbon Credits, Is Global Warming a Sin? And in that article, he basically asserts that the human carbon footprint is of zero consequence.
It's really crazy stuff, and it's very sad, really, because I've had a great deal of respect for Alexander. An awful lot of people on the left have respect for Alexander, and he's blown a lot of it. For the past 3 weeks, I have had a challenge issued to him to provide his references for the so-called scientific claims that he made in that article. He has not met that challenge. He has not provided his references. And I think I know why. It's because there aren't any. Now, those of us who have degrees in science know that for a claim to carry scientific weight, it has to have been published in a peer-reviewed journal. Alexander has based all his claims on a conversation he had in 2001 with a man he met on a boat. This man isn't even a climate scientist. He trained once as a meteorologist many, many years ago. He did a degree in meteorology. He is scarcely better qualified than you or I to dismiss the entire canon of climate science, but for some reason Alexander Coburn has just jumped on this and says it's not happening because this man says so. And he obviously doesn't understand anything of science. He hasn't responded to any of the critiques made of the claims that he's put out, and some very serious critiques indeed. You can read them on realclimate.org, where climate scientists have assessed what he's saying and said it's just complete nonsense. You can read my critique on znet.org, where I've been challenging Alexander to a debate and challenging him to produce his references, and he's failed to do so. And the way in which he's turned his back on the requirements that he produces his references and that he engages with his critics, but at the same time continues to say, there's not a problem, don't worry about it, suggests that he is being completely irresponsible on this issue.
Following weeks of public and private requests for a bit of scientific proof to back up the Coburn anti-warming rants, columnist George Monbiot has given up. In a June 13th article, he writes, quote, "I have now learnt that it is pointless to seek to argue with Coburn, because he cannot admit that he got the science wrong. He merely raises the volume and widens the scope of the attack. Resorting to grapeshot, he now invokes just about every crazy theory ever raised by those who say that man-made global warming is not happening. It would require an entire website to answer them all. Happily, it already exists, www.realclimate.org. And, over the years, it has dealt with every new issue he raises, drawing on peer-reviewed papers. But Coburn will not read these refutations. He has answered none of his critics. He has not even listened to them. For this reason, this will be my last posting in this debate. I sign off with sadness. I have followed Alexander Coburn's writing for many years, and I have admired it. His has been an important and persuasive voice on many progressive issues, but I can no longer trust it. I realize that he is blinded by a conviction that he remains right whatever the facts may say. In his determination to admit nothing, he will cling to any straw, including the craziest fulminations of the ultra-right, and he will abandon the rigor and skepticism that once informed his journalism. I feel this as a loss. I'm sure I'm not the only one." So says George Monbiot. Really, I think Alexander Coburn wrote his own virtual obituary in one of his columns, this one skewering those who think that the Bush administration knew or benefited from the 9/11 attacks on America. He speaks of theologian David Ray Griffin as, quote, "the high priest of conspiracy nuts whose cult members, quote, disdain all answers but their own." Sadly, that is a fitting self-description of this one-time icon, now floundering on the edge and grabbing for any right-wing supporter he can find. Is Alexander Coburn falling down the well-oiled slope that took Christopher Hitchens and former comedian Dennis Miller into the super-patriotic camp of Bush supporters? These pundits always fall to the right because that's where the real power and money lives. How strange that a man who began in the 1980s with a book on wrecking the Amazon rainforest now uses his mind and his pen to paste over the climatic death of forests right here in North America. It is not Al Gore who issues papal indulgences for carbon sins, but Alexander Coburn. We need some kind of clinic to bring these old-time intellectuals back to reality, where droughts, floods, rising oceans, and heat determine people's lives. A kind of Betty Ford clinic for all those pundits who make a buck or re-stimulate a failing career by denying the obvious truth. I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. Find the print version of this with links at www.ecoshock.org/podcast. Find my weekly radio show on various college and community radio stations, or download it from our website at ecoshock.org.